Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome, and I am back. That's right, folks. I've had enough. I've been silent long enough. I've taken the break that I needed to flush the mental garbage from my head, and I am back to share with you my opinions, ideas, thoughts, concerns, and that big old question that's been banging each and every one of us in the head for the last, wow, I don't know, year since this alleged political election cycle has gotten full swing. When are the damn adults going to show up and actually participate? Now that I've got my concept of what I would like to see in a utopia out of the way, let's deal with some reality. We've got a narcissist and a criminal. That's the two major candidates. Pick one. You can use the labels interchangeably. It doesn't really make a difference to me. But the bottom line happens to be, Reagan's words don't ring truer today. Well, let me correct that. They ring truer today than they did when he first said them. The idea of us being better off today than we were 4 or 8 or even 12 years ago is still a question that many of us ask ourselves. Are our homes worth more? Are our assets worth more? Is our educational system better than it has been before? Are we faced with that simple question of will our children be better off than we were? Or are we truly the last generation that can turn around and say we had it better than our parents? I mean, these are the things that concern me going into this presidential cycle. These are the things when I hear that Hillary hasn't spoken to anybody effectively in the last, well, I don't know, 300 days, give or take a few. That Trump seems to think he can lead us out of the desert like a Moses. Unfortunately, it may just simply be that much. We may need, and it may be a cult of personality, because right now we've got those who are never Trump, and we have those who are for Trump, and we have those who are never Hillary, and those who are destined for Hillary, and then we got, of course, we've got the Bernie Sanders crew who are still complaining and screaming and arguing that they got cheated out of the candidacy at the DNC convention. The unfortunate part is I actually think I agree with them when it comes to that, especially when we see what's been leaked and the emails that have been shared and all the noise that has been made and all the fun stuff that has been dropped in our laps from those who like to poke around in computers that generally don't belong to them. These are things that have been that have been poking around with me for the last 6 months. They're the things that have been that have been keeping me wondering if truly our votes matter, or have the elections been bought and paid for by the highest bidder? And it doesn't make a difference who the bidder happens to be. It doesn't matter if, you know, if Hillary gets elected because she's been selling her office for almost a decade, or if Trump, who has been buying offices for almost or more than a decade. Either way, America stands at a crossroads where the difference happens to be whether or not the freedoms of the Constitution will outlast the influence and bribery available to a strong central government. Think about that. The Democrats have been buying votes for 50 plus years. And people have been voting that way because it benefits their pocketbook. But not necessarily their investments, not necessarily their economics, not necessarily their businesses or their employment. Their actual pocketbook. We have created not one, two, possibly three generations of dependent souls whose only livelihood comes from those of us who are willing to work for a living and pay our taxes, even though we're not really thrilled about the idea of paying the taxes. There's a lot that we face, both socially, economically, and politically in this next election. You can see it on the TV. You can see it, hear it on the radio. You can listen to it on the internet and talk radio. There's a whole bunch of junk going on. Before I get lost, I want to thank everybody who has or who have been following me on the Shoutcast streams that we have up and running and listen to my radio streams. You can catch all of our shows. We've been running a radio DJ broadcast program to carry all that stuff. You can check it out at GulfSpeaks.com. You can find us on Facebook.com, Twitter at Radio Markowitz, and, of course, back here at Spreaker, Podomatic, and Blog Talk, where you can find a lot of this stuff. And please subscribe to iTunes. You can find all the episodes on iTunes. And every time a new one goes up, you can come and get it. Well, your application will go chase it for you. You don't have to look for it. But before I lose track, I want to say a couple of things in regards to why I've been missing for the last 6 months. Business has been a real pain in the rump, and I have been overwhelmed, or I have been extremely concerned with what the goings on for a client of mine, which is no longer a concern at this point. Thank you very much. And I want to share with you the talk radio, and especially the internet, has lost two very important people, in my opinion. One is Primo Mondone from the Red State Talk Radio, which the show is now going to be carried again on Red State. Thank you, Scott Adams. And the other one is Jerry Doyle. Jerry was a friend of mine, a quasi-neighbor. We lived in just a couple of miles apart up here in Vegas. I have had the pleasure of sharing his company and enjoying his home and his hospitality with my family and with his other friends. And his loss, within the last 60 days, is took more of a toll on me than I expected. 10 years apart in age, and one day he's here, next day he's gone. Quite literally. And his voice has been silenced by time or by Mother Nature, but his stuff is still out there. You can still check out epictimes.com, which was his consolidation webpage, which he brought all of his stuff together. I know he's got his podcasts out there available. He was an interesting fellow, and I'm very pleased to say I was able to call him a friend. It's amazing how you meet people in Vegas. It really is. It's a unique town when it comes to meeting people. We literally met at an ATM machine in a casino. I had listened to his show several times and got a kick out of some of his producers are really good, especially the Palestinian ski jump team, which was one of my favorite segues. I nearly wrecked my car listening to him on the radio as he discussed or described the events of the Palestinian ski jump team as they came off the ski jump. You can picture what happened thereafter. His parties were sociable, were fun, it was good. He was a real man, a real person. And I got to tell you, his loss impacted me a whole lot more than I had anticipated. I had the pleasure of sharing my thoughts with him on his show several times, and in ways most people wouldn't expect. Text messages or internet or emails while he was on the show. If you've listened to him, I was his. He referred to me as my buddy Warren out here in Vegas, my lawyer buddy Warren out here in Vegas, and I would share my ideas and thoughts with him that way. And I want you to know, he's left a large pair of shoes to fill on the right, and in just reality. So, to steal and adopt and to use without any prior permission, I just want to quote Jerry in saying, it is time to drain the political swamp when it comes to Washington. And right after this break, we'll talk about why. Because you know something? Things are getting a little funky. Sit tight. Hang on. You'll listen to the Warren Markwood Show live on Spreaker.com. And back after this. All right. Technical difficulties as we return to the radio.
This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's markowitzlawfirm.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire. A modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
The Warren Markowitz Show. Politically incorrect speech for politically correct times.
Freedom comes with a price. Responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
And I'm back. Thank you very much. All right. Just remember, Facebook, Spreaker, Podomatic, Blog Talk, iTunes, we're covered. So, first thing up on the list. I read something that actually has been unfolding for the last year. I guess I've either had my head in the ground or I just really didn't care too much about the overall topic because it involved some of the universities here in the country. I'm not going to name names. There's about four or five major ones. The event transpired in the last week in California. That should give you sufficient information to go poking around to see that I'm not out of my mind when it comes to this. And the matter happens to be fairly simple. It seems that somewhere in the last 50 years, when we were working on the idea of desegregation, the idea of separate but equal, not being equal, it seems that our loving and effective Supreme Court got it wrong. You heard me. They blew it. The Supreme Court blew it. Separate but equal is inherently equal. Well, it's at least advantageous for some. But not necessarily if you're white. You see, what's been going on right now in a college campus is, besides the idea and concepts of safe spaces, the idea that, you know, we have to put ourselves in a position where I can be safe and that words aren't going to hurt me and triggers aren't going to hurt me and a micro... See, The social justice warriors of the 21st century have come up with concepts like microaggressions, triggers, trigger warnings, micro insults. You know, things we used to call a backhanded compliment or a left-handed compliment. And, of course, things that... Things that create environments in which I have to feel warm and fuzzy about myself. Did I have to feel like, no, I don't know. The whole world is about me. And that I am the most important person on the planet, and nobody else's opinion matters. I have a suggestion, considering those type of people are unlikely to be listening to this, but I'll share it anyway. If you really want to make yourself feel like nothing else matters and that your opinions are the ones that count, stick your damn neck out. Create a program like this. Create a program in which you are the one who's got the opinions. And by the way, if you want to share your opinions with me, my email is warren@galtspeaks.com. That's GALTspeaks.com. And my first name is spelled WARREN. You probably know that part because you found your way here. The other thing is this. Radio Markowitz, RadioMarkowitz, is my speaker my Skype handle. And as we move to the different speaker platform next week, you'll be able to chime in because I'll be making it available for you to share your opinions with me and even question and challenge. I don't have a problem with that. You see, I grew up in an environment which said, if you have a question, you ask it. You might preference it. This might sound like a dumb question. Well, there are no dumb questions. There's only dumb people. So let's move on from there. Uh-huh. But you ask a question. You're never going to get the answer you like. Maybe, maybe not. But overall, confrontation, challenges, open-minded communication is what matters. You see, going back to the segregation issue, this idea of safe spaces has overrun some major universities to the point where safe spaces now mean segregation. It now means that there are race-based housing that only allow one certain type of racial makeup. And that one certain type of racial makeup is non-white. Now, I'll be straightforward. I'll be as brutally honest as you can. The idea of white supremacy bugs the shit out of me. The idea that one race is better than the other bothers me. Because I was taught, and I think this is because my parents grew up in a segregated society and saw the transition through the 1960s of an improvement in race relations, that you judge people by what they do, who they are, what they say, how they hold themselves, how they approach themselves, how they identify themselves, but not by the color of their skin. I mean, I went to Sachem High School in Long Island. For those of you who've been paying attention to the Olympics, actually one of our graduates, or actually more than one of our graduates, participated in the Olympics. And we've created politicians, we've created athletes, we've created poker players. Sachem has contributed greatly, predominantly due to its size and the amount of people it involved with. But the whole point is that even though at the time I went there we were a predominantly white high school, I don't remember judging people by the color. It was beneath us. I mean, there were times when people got under your skin and you did the wrong thing, you said the wrong thing, you made the wrong comment because, you know, you were looking for reasons to poke at people. Guess what? It happens. Even the best of the best and the ones that decide they're not going to play that game, they slip. People are fallible. But now we've got universities that are endorsing the concept of segregation. Endorsing the concept of the wall between the races because obviously it's not safe for the non-whites to associate with the whites. You wonder why some of the fringes are ranting and raving and jumping up and down for joy in this political cycle? Because of the concept of a wall with Mexico on the southern flank of the United States. It's not that... I don't believe that it's because we're finally building that mean old wall to keep out the brown people from Mexico. I think it has to do with the simple fact that the brown people in the United States are now creating the environment in which these lunatics have been screaming about for the last 25 or 30 years, or 40 years, that the races should be kept separate. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the idea that how can a university even endorse such a concept? And are we supposed to challenge ourselves, push ourselves, advance ourselves, do things that we don't normally do, make ourselves uncomfortable so that we can learn to grow and, you know, be constructive citizens in our society? When are these morons in college going to recognize the fact that there isn't a safe place in an office building except a stairwell and either a fire or an earthquake? When are they going to understand that learning things like, in a criminal law class, learning about rape law and statutes and violent crime and reading about how evil people can be when you read the family law books and recognize why people lost their kids because they beat them with an iron or they tried to give them a bath in a boiling pot of water or they left them in a tub and one kid drowned so the state took the others away because the parents were reckless, stupid, and incompetent. The real world does not stop. People are going to make mistakes. People are stupid in general. Not that they're stupid as in, like, you know, they walk around with their head up their ass. Nowadays, they walk around with their face down in their damn tablet or their phone or whatnot. And Darwin's going to have a whole lot more awards to give out because these people are going to wind up culling the herd from simple mathematics. You cross the street looking down, you're either going to wind up in a manhole or you're going to wind up getting smacked by a bus. But the idea and the concept that segregation is an answer goes against everything that we have worked for since the 1960s, since the passage of the Civil Rights Act, since the improvements and the advances, since we grew up and recognized that people are people. Now we're sitting, oh no, whites are evil. I got news for you. I'm offended by the whole idea. If you haven't figured that part out already by now. The idea that you have to have a safe space. Why don't you make a safe space? Why don't you do the things that are necessary to make your environment comfortable? Wouldn't that be by exploring and sharing and identifying what's going on in your world? You know, many people don't know this. Maybe you don't remember. I honestly don't know if I've shared this in the past. My first college roommate was a black kid from Freeport, New York. I don't remember Mike's last name. I was uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable. I'd never been in a situation like that. I'm 18 years old. I am barely a grown-up, at least when it comes to the social interactions in a college setting. And here I am, tossed in with a guy I know nothing about. I know where he's from. I know what kind of environment he grew up in. And I'm forced to figure it out. I'm sure he was just as confused about me. He probably thought as little about me as I did him in the beginning. Do you know how much that offended me or affected me in a negative sense? Zero. I look back now and I realize what kind of a moron was I then. What could I have... I mean, seriously. Short of getting into a fist fight with him or having somebody steal something from me, which, by the way, didn't happen. The funkiest thing that happened that in sharing that dorm room with this guy during college, in freshman year, was one Sunday I woke up and there was a preacher on the alarm clock and my heart was racing at 1,000 miles an hour. Didn't expect it, didn't know what to do. It's like, you know, here's a Jewish kid waking up, hearing a black preacher screaming about hell and damnation, and it scared the daylights out of me. Enough that I could, that 30 years later, I can still laugh about it. Enough that I can recognize the impact that it had on me. See, it's these things, it's these experiences that these social justice lunatics don't understand how important they are. Sharing oneself with others. You know, as a wedding photographer, yes, I was a wedding photographer. I was one of the youngest wedding photographers probably in the country, but definitely in New York. I shot my first wedding at 16. I was so young that I had to take my mother with me to drive the car because I couldn't drive in Nassau County. Probably shouldn't have been driving in Suffolk County, but the bottom line was this. Had to cross the county line, my mother had to go with me. From 16 to almost 38, I spent my weekends sharing my world with others. Exploring and finding and learning, and I'll tell you right now, if you really want to learn what kind of people are and where people are from and how people's and food and culture and identity, go to a wedding from a group of people that you know that are completely different from you. Muslim, Jewish, Christian, variations thereof, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, Mormons, Indians, dots and feathers. And go and explore what they have to eat. You want to actually have some fun? Go to a Jamaican backyard wedding where the grandmother's cooked. Not where they catered it. I'm talking about a down-home backyard, you know, cultural event. I will tell you this now. You will enjoy yourself. And you will smell things and taste things and explore things that you never would have expected a day in your life. This segregation, this idea that we need to separate ourselves from others, is offensive to the very memories and ideas that have tried to push us together. And you wake up one day and these morons are deciding this is the way to handle it. I need my scrunchie and my squish ball and I need my cookies and my juice and give me a juice box and a quiet place and my music and leave me alone for an hour because I have to decompress because somebody asked me where I was from and that was a microaggression and a micro insult because they were looking down upon me. When is anybody going to tell these people that the only people who can look down upon you is yourself? And that the only way they can do that is with your permission. Major universities have to stop placating fools. It's not about what these kids want. It's about what these kids need. And I'll tell you something. Most of us are not old enough to remember the speeches given by King. But I'll tell you right now, if that man, well, the old joke is if the man was alive, he'd be scratching at the inside of his casket. But if he could hear what's going on, then you would recognize the simple fact that everything that that generation of people worked for, everything that those people strove for to break the walls down, is absolutely collapsing. Brown versus the Board of Education was designed to integrate the schools so that we could eliminate the factor of having two societies grow up independent of each other, but in effect interdependent of each other. It was to say that people are people, whether you like it or not. It doesn't make a difference what their skin color is. Yet nowadays, we're looking at the simple fact that people want to be categorized, compartmentalized, identified, and broken down to the point where, you know what? I matter more than you do. Well, you know something, pal? In your head, you probably do matter more than I do, and I probably should be the case. But when we're sitting down and having a conversation, and we're discussing things, whether you like the topic or not, whether you agree with my position or not, the only way you are going to convince me and I'm going to convince you is we find common ground. In politics, if you get half of what you want, you're ahead of the game. We'll pick this up and move on to the next topic right after this break. See you in a bit.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the Band 38 Special. Let us never forget that police lives matter.
Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of the Warren Markowitz Show on Blog Talk Radio. Join me Tuesdays and Fridays at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to talk politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle your fancy. See you there.
Okay. Next topic. What is going on? Well, let's do it this way. Copernic, can't even remember how to pronounce this guy's name. Black football player decides he's going to protest the American anthem because it's a violent and destructive and diminutive and, you know, offensive representation against people of color and people of this and people of that. And people have got, they're crazy. They've got their panties in a bunch. They don't know what to do with this guy. Hang on. Let me explain something to you. I'm glad he's saying something. I'm glad he's standing up for what he wants. I'm glad the man has got the chutzpah to do what he thinks is appropriate. I really am. I mean, I walked into a 7-Eleven. About three nights ago, maybe four. And behind the counter was two black clerks, one of which I've known since the shop opened. And that's, I don't know, 7-8 years now. The other guy I've seen, no big deal, no issue. There was a gentleman who had just bought a couple packs of cigarettes or something behind me and standing there, also black. So I find myself as the only white guy in the place. All right, big deal. I'm not offended. I'm not hurt. I'm not insulted. I'm not concerned for my safety. None of this junk. But I walked into the middle of this conversation about free speech and how some people are upset that he's making the statement and they shouldn't be upset. And I looked at the clerk and I said, you know what? You're making a big mistake. You are missing the entire point. Now, I could care less what the point Copernic is making. The point I am addressing with this whole thing is fairly simple. We have freedom of speech. I can say anything I want to you right now, and I have to remember one very important factor. I can go off on a racial tirade, which I won't because I'm not that type of person. I'm not going to pull a Kramer on you. I can go off and threaten the President of the United States because I think the man is an incompetent boob, which I'm not going to do because I'm not a moron. I don't like his politics, and I don't like his positions, and I don't particularly like him as a president. But I don't know the man outside of that. He's probably a pretty decent father, and he's probably doing everything he needs to do to raise his kids and his family in a very uncomfortable situation. And we'll leave it at that. But everything we say and do comes with repercussions. And that is where we're getting lost. We're getting lost in the fact or the idea that I can say anything I want because the Constitution says so. Well, you can't say fire in a crowded theater. You shouldn't yell theater in a crowded fire. You shouldn't yell hijack when you're walking onto an airplane. Or leaving one, for that matter. Even if the gentleman you're saying hello to, his name is Jack. Or her name is Jack. Because things come with repercussions. Statements are made and concepts carry weight. So, I said to the guy behind the counter, if the guy's got the guts to say it, the guy better have the guts to deal with the impact of voicing his opinion. And if he's offended by the fact that people are upset with what he's doing, well, there's two things to look at. Number one, they're talking about it, hence the conversation we're having now. And that's a good thing, because if he's trying to make a point, he's definitely got the conversation going. And number two, what flows from his statement and his actions is his own responsibility. Going back to the first part of the program, when we talked about segregation, safe spaces, trigger words, and all the other fun junk that comes along with the social justice crowd. Because what we are missing overall is the repercussions of our actions. Kids aren't taught, and now these kids are 15 and 18 and 20 years old. But we forgot to teach the very important part of doing things, and that's responsibility and repercussions. You know, you don't pass your test, you can't get your driver's permit. You're going to cry. So what? You take the test again. You don't pass the test, you don't get your driver's license. Situation B, please see situation A and take the test over again. Thank you very much. It's this impact that is so problematic. This is the crowd that was taught that everybody gets a trophy. This is the crowd that was taught that everybody can participate, can be rewarded. This is your dependent, inconsequential, low-information voter. This is the group of people who don't recognize the simple fact that there are repercussions to your action. If the government's giving out money, they're not giving out their own, they're giving out somebody else's. If you're not paying taxes and the government's giving out money, and you can still buy something with it, that means somebody else is giving those taxes up. You're existing and you're benefiting from the labor of somebody else. We don't teach that anymore. We don't teach the impact of actions. And we certainly don't teach the idea that we can be proud of something. As we segue into the next and final section of the show today. There have been students in the last year, the last couple of years, students who carry, wave, wear, show off the American flag. And there are others, adults, that carry, wave, show off, and wave the American flag that have been, well, pushed aside by HOAs, suspended from school, considered offensive and hostile to others, all because of waving and showing the American flag. Last time I checked, the flag represents the nation in which we live, the 50 states that make her up, the blood, the honor, and sacrifice of those who died to get us here. Now, if you're offended by the flag, you're certainly offended by this conversation because you've got such a thin skin you could probably be seen through. But if you're offended by the idea of the flag, you want to burn it? Burn it. I'm going to think you're the biggest ass on the planet. You want to protest it? Fine. But don't claim its benefits. How's that one for you? You want to burn the flag and protest? Don't claim the benefits that come along with it. You want to stand on it and say it's oppressive to blacks while still cashing a welfare check or using an EBT card because you yourself are too fat, lazy, and dumb to get off the couch and go get a job or create one of your own? Don't take the benefits from it. It's a matter of responsibility. You know, we've got a tragic event. A tragic event. It's an understatement. The watershed date of my generation, of the modern era. Okay? A watershed date as important in my eyes in the culture and structure of America as Pearl Harbor. The assassination of John F. Kennedy. The evacuation from Vietnam. 9/11. Think about what happened that day. Three planes, 19 hijackers. Yes, mostly Saudis. Actually, it's four planes, isn't it? It's the Pentagon, it's Pennsylvania, it's both towers. And what do we find out? Thousands of people dead. A world changed forever. Our freedoms restricted because of fear. Our concepts and ideas impacted. And people standing up and saying the American flag is to blame. Well, you want to know something? If you are one of those that decides the American flag is to blame, I say change America. That's what you do. You don't change and banish your symbols. Unless you're going to do what we did with the Soviet Union. Was when the Soviet Union fell, the statues of Lenin started disappearing, the hammer and sickle started disappearing, the red flag disappeared. That's a substantive change. America's flag represents a sacrifice and honor for everybody, including those who, by the way, who fought during the Civil War, where I'm still trying to figure out under what circumstances and under what ideas you're gonna turn around and say the Confederate soldiers weren't American soldiers. That's an argument for another day. If somebody is offended by the American flag being worn, waved, held, or identified to the point where schools ban it from football games because they might offend the Mexican kids, dude, screw them. We're not in Mexico. If I went to Mexico, I would expect to see Mexican flags. You don't think Jesse Owens was a little uptight walking into Nazi Germany and taking a gold medal for the United States as a black man and seeing those red banners with the black swastikas in them? You don't think he was a little jumpy? Maybe some of the Jewish athletes that were there too? Don't think they were a little concerned? They didn't protest because the flag wasn't there. They went to show off that they were better than what it represented. If these people are so upset about the flag, show that you are better than what you claim it represents. On the other hand, if you can't do that, then why insult everybody else? You're just going to get back the junk that you're tossing out. You see, It is just as important to hear the bad side of the story as it is the good side of the story. Has America done some stupid things in this world? Yeah. We're kind of young. If you haven't really recognized, we're barely a teenager. And if you got kids, you'll understand that teenagers, they kind of screw up on a regular basis. We are 250 years old. We were born July 4th, 1776. If you can't remember some important things about America, yeah, go looking on YouTube. Okay? Look for the cartoons that we had when we were kids. Schoolhouse Rock has got a great series about how we came about. From splishing and splashing over the horizon to what can you see to the shot heard around the world to No More Kings. But to suspend kids for celebrating the colors and honoring where they're from because you think it might offend somebody else? The issue is not offending somebody else. The issue is you're afraid. That's what these people are. They're afraid. Because if it's Cinco de Mayo, so what? It's the 5th of May. You're celebrating a holiday? Invite me along. I'll wave a Mexican flag. I might surprise you. I might wave a pin with a Mexican flag and an American flag. I've got no offense to anybody. I have no problem. You know, give me a Dos Equis, give me a Corona, give me a taco, give me, you know. There's a Mexican food, there's a Mexican restaurant out here in Vegas, I got to tell you. Excuse me. That a friend of mine took me to. That when we walked in the door, we were the only two white faces in the place. No joke. Only two white faces in the place. And I looked at them and I said, you know, I don't like Mexican food. Because to me, I grew up next to a Taco Bell. And believe me, after a while, you don't really like the smell of Taco Bell. And I looked at him and I said, that's the only exposure I had. It's not like he said, let's go to this Portuguese restaurant, because I'd be diving headfirst into a paella. Or an Italian joint or a Chinese restaurant. Okay? I never really had an exposure to Mexican food. And next thing I know, I'm looking at this menu and I'm going, what part of Mexico am I looking at? It wasn't tacos. It was seafood and pasta and an expansion of vegetables. And I'm looking at this thing going, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, I'm going to try the next thing. And next thing I know, I'm taking half of it home. You see, folks, this issue with the flag, this issue with the safe spaces, the issue with the microaggressions and all this nitpicky kind of BS has to do with the simple fact that we decided that it is better to be a white, married, Jewish, straight male, I'm losing the ideas, tall, with receding hairline. And to describe myself that, except, I'm American. Okay? You got to hyphenate stuff. That's what people want. We've got to be inclusive, and we've got to hyphenate, and we've got to identify. I don't care. Why should you? How important is it that the person sitting across from you is a black transvestite lesbian that is in a relationship with a Chinese-Mexican binary antisocial homophobe? I mean, it makes as much sense. If you're going to throw, you know, we used to have these international parties. Yeah, and people would bring dishes that were from their particular religious or cultural or ethnic backgrounds. That's how you learn about people. That's how the world learns about people. Shit, that's how I like to learn about people. It's food. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up in just a few minutes because we've got about 3 minutes to go before we're done for the day. And what I'm going to do right after this break is close everything up. So sit tight. I appreciate you joining me for this show back. Be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of the Warren Markowitz Show. Catch me every Tuesday and Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Spreaker.com to talk about politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle my fancy.
The Warren Markowitz Show on Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.
Whoops. Okay. Wrapping things up. We got about 4 minutes to go. So, you know, we're back. We're going to be on Spreaker on Tuesdays and Fridays on our regular times, 10:30 a.m. We may have to shift it to 11, but pay attention because we may go live with Red State Talk Radio. But the program is going to be carried on Red State Talk Radio. It's going to be carried on my Blog Talk channel, my YouTube channel, iTunes, and so forth. We're back in the swing of things. I appreciate everybody sticking with me. Check out the new logo. I'm going to be putting up a ability for you to buy bumper stickers and coffee mugs. Logo is really cool. It is my world, and as you know, you just live in it. But we are going to be addressing a whole lot more, not just on a political side as the events unfold, but we're going to be looking at the concepts and ideas that, well, you know what? It is everything that we need to remember and identify and move forward. If we lose track, if we backtrack 50, 60, 70 years, we're going to find ourselves in no better shape than they did. We're going to find ourselves in a simple world that simply says, you know what? Too bad. Well, I got this one for you. Too bad to you. My world is my world. The way I look at it is fairly simple. We are each responsible for no one other than ourselves. If you're married, that includes your kids and your wife, spouse. It includes your home. But in the grand scheme of things, the important part that you're responsible for is very small. What people think, what people do, how people approve things, it doesn't matter. Never has. You know, the concept of segregating you from others because it makes you feel better. It's also known as hiding yourself underneath the blanket and refusing to go to work because you don't want to go to school today because somebody doesn't like you. Or you don't want to go to work today because you didn't do the project for the boss. Just fill in a blank. That's all it amounts to. It's hiding. We don't hide. Americans don't hide. We may screw things up. We may really make a mess of things. We may miscommunicate. We may downright get bloodied up and beaten, but we always stand up and we always look ourselves in the eye and realize it is our world. The rest of the world just lives in it. Why do you think China and Russia is pushing so hard to be on equal footing? They got to raise themselves up to be equal to us. Why do you think the world itself has started to laugh at us? Because we're acting like kids, not like adults. It's time for the adults to stand up and say, you know what? Enough of this shit. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show. I love you guys for joining me, and thank you very much. I'll catch you again on Tuesday. Be good.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the Band 38 Special. You're listening to Red State Talk Radio. Lock it in and rip the knob off.